Millions of Americans struggle with depression, and a number of prescription antidepressants are available to help treat the condition. Some of the better-known medications include Prozac, Paxil, and Cymbalta. As of earlier this month, the Food and Drug Administration has added esketamine to the list. It's a derivative of ketamine, which has become infamous for its use as a club drug, although it's also an approved anesthetic. One of esketamine's greatest pluses is that it comes as a nasal spray. With me to discuss the impact esketamine could have in treating depression is Dr. Yazini Srivatsal, a psychiatrist at Banner Behavioral Health Hospital in Scottsdale. Doctor, what are the origins of esketamine and what should we know about the drug?
So ketamine has been FDA-approved anesthetic for a long time, and it's been used as an anesthetic. It's been used off-label as an antidepressant. It's not been FDA-approved as an antidepressant. So this new molecule, esketamine, is a derivative of ketamine. So ketamine is made up of two molecules, like mirror images. So one of it is esketamine. So this studies have shown that it is helpful for depression, especially treatment-resistant depression. So somebody has tried a few medications, doesn't work, then this seems to be a good option. And the big news is that it's been FDA approved last week.
Can we dig in a little bit more deeply when we talk about things that people who have not responded to other treatment? How often does that happen? How exciting is this considering that's sort of the background of it, the idea that people who have, who've tried other things, because at some point, people probably get frustrated and they get very nervous about, well, what is my condition? How can we improve it?
Definitely. So depression is a big part of the mental illnesses. And in the U.S., according to the National Institute of Mental Health data from 2016, 15 million people are depressed, like close to 15 million, 16.2 to be precise. Mm-hmm. So of those, 5 million have treatment-resistant depression. So when we say treatment-resistant, it means during this depressive episode, they've tried at least two medications at adequate doses for adequate duration of time and still have not had a response. Mm-hmm. So they are classified as treatment-resistant. So that is one in every three depressed people. So that's a lot. So once you've tried a few options, nothing works, you want to do something differently. So this is a new medication that sounds promising.
Now, one question that people will often have with any sort of prescribed medicine is the safety issue. Are there certain concerns about a drug like this, which I imagine is quite strong?
Definitely. And, you know, all medications comes with side effect, and so does this one. So black box warning when we say with this medication is that it causes sedation and dissociation. And we can, you know, imagine that given that it is a derivative of an anesthetic drug. The next one is a concern for abuse and misuse. And just like any other antidepressant, there's also this warning for suicidal thoughts and behaviors. So those are the big ones that we need to watch for. The other things would be increase in blood pressure, dizziness, anxiety, nausea, vomiting. But yeah, the big three things are the sedation, dissociation, misuse, and suicidal thoughts.
Is misuse any more of a concern when it comes to psychiatric-related prescriptions?
Definitely, because, you know, sometimes when people feel like some things are useful and there is also this potential for abuse and misuse, people start using it more or not the way they are prescribed. So that is definitely a, you know, concern. The good thing is that this has been classified as a Schedule III controlled substance to begin with, and it is not something that you will be going home with. The medication doesn't go home with you. So it stays at the doctor's office. So you go there, get the medication administered, wait there for a couple hours to see you don't have any side effects, you're doing okay. Then you go back home, come back for the next treatment session. So there is less, you know, chance for diversion and misuse.
How common is that for a drug like this? Is that because I think most people think, well, I'll get the proper prescription, I'll figure it out, and I won't, the hope obviously wouldn't misuse it or overuse it. But for something this powerful, is this the most likely path? And does this make sense to you?
So ketamine is considered to be the street drug, right? Special case. So there's definitely a potential. And a lot of other medications, let's say ADHD medications, people try them prescribed. It helps. And then let's say they don't go for their follow-up appointments. They go to this deep, dark place. And then there's this option of getting it off the streets or, you know, trying it themselves, which is not the good idea. Yeah.
Coming back to the question about going to the doctor's office, how often would a typical person, do we know yet what a typical dosage would be and how often someone would have to go back to the doctor?
The regimen right now, as described by the, you know, website, says that it is twice a week for 4 weeks and then once a week for 4 weeks and then once every 2 weeks for 4 weeks. So after that, if you need more, it depends on how you're doing and how your doctor decides. It is. Mm-hmm. So the starting dose is supposed to be 56 milligrams, and then after that, it would be either 56 or 84 milligrams. So the nasal spray comes as a 28 milligram. So you do two sprays for 56.
Okay.
So it depends, two vials, yeah.
Interesting. If someone is severely depressed and is prescribed this and needs to take it, is there any reason to be concerned that someone would have to, in their weekly schedule, find time to go to the doctor for this? Is that more disruptive than having it available at home, or does it keep some sort of semblance of control, which is a positive?
I would say both, because this medication, just because it has this potential for sedation and dissociation and also increases blood pressure, so we want to make sure you're monitored for at least a couple hours after you take the dose. And so if you're at the doctor's clinic, then you make sure the blood pressure is okay, you're feeling better. You're not supposed to drive after this. Somebody is supposed to pick you up. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to operate heavy machinery until you sleep overnight. So that's a recommendation. So that's the biggest thing. The other thing is obviously the misuse abuse potential. You're home, you take it, you're like, oh, I missed a dose, can I take it twice a day today? Instead of, taking it the prescribed way. So,
how much of an advancement is this particular drug to you?
It's the first antidepressant that's nasal, so that itself is a big deal. And we are looking forward to it because, all the other medications that we've had for depression works on the serotonin system or works on the norepinephrine system. So this works on the NMDA receptors, which is a totally different thing, but we don't know how it works. That's the other thing.
Okay.
So we are excited.
Dr. Yazini Srivatsal is a psychiatrist at Banner Behavioral Health Hospital in Scottsdale.